If you keep trying to be happy and you're not happy, then maybe you don't know how to be happy. If you keep saying, if only, if only, if only, if only, maybe you don't know what really makes you happy. Happiness is more about who than what.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
If you haven't already done so, please look inside your program, take out your message outline this morning. And as Pastor Jason mentioned, we are starting a brand new message series today, and it ends with a question mark. And it's simply this: what makes you happy? What makes you happy? We could have used, taken out the question mark. We could have put an exclamation point. We could have made this a statement. We could have made it a promise as well. But the question is, what makes you happy? In the next few weeks, I'm going to tell you what makes you happy. And some of you go like, well, that's kind of offensive. You know, who are you to tell me, you know, how to be happy? Why are you doing that? Well, here's why we're going to tell you how to be happy. What makes you happy? First, fill in the blank on your outline. Because some people really don't know what makes them happy. They absolutely don't know what makes them happy. Now, here's a great way to tell whether you know what really makes you happy or not. Look at the second fill-in. If you keep trying to be happy and you're not happy, then maybe you don't know how to be happy. All right? That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Logical on that. But you say, I don't know, Russ. I mean, you know, I don't even know you. You're kind of a stranger. Why should you tell me how to be happy? Well, listen, folks, every day when you cut on your radio in your car, you listen to on TV, you watch TV, you're on the internet, you see hundreds and hundreds of people through advertisements trying to tell you, hey, you just do this and we're going to tell you how to be happy. And so we do this all the time, and we've all bought into some of those, hadn't we? One or two times, maybe 100 times. But we bought into some of those ads type of thing. And one of the telltale signs, if you really don't know what makes you happy, if you keep saying this, if only. If only. If only I lived here, I'd be happy. If only I drove that, I would be happy. If only I could dress like that, I would be happy. If only I was married to him or her, I'd really be happy. Look at this fill in the blank. If you keep saying, if only, if only, if only, if only, maybe you don't know what really makes you happy. And then for a small percentage of people here today, look at this fill in. Some have actually forgotten what makes them happy. It's difficult to market actual happiness. You can market, though, a lot of quick fixes, which is what we see in our society today. So let's look at what makes you happy, and we're going to jump right into the heart of what this whole series is about. This next fill in the blank, if you walk away with just remembering this, it was worth coming this morning for this. Here it is. Happiness is more about who than what. Happiness is more about who than what. And if you think about this, we learned this from our earliest age. From our earliest age, we learned this. You can get little preschoolers together. You can put them on the nicest playground with the nicest equipment around them, and they will completely ignore that because they don't care about that. They care about who they're playing with. And if they have friends that are playing together, they will play with sticks and rocks and pull piles of dirt together, and they will do not even do anything with the fancy equipment or toys that you bought for them, right? Because it's about who they're with. And then we continue to learn this lesson all through school, in elementary, middle school, high school. It's not about the what, it's about, do you have a group of who's to hang out with at school that include you? That's all that matters, right? The what is on the peripheral, to say the least, on that. Some parents don't understand this. And maybe your parent wanted to have all your friends come to your house, their house, so they could keep an eye on you and spy on your friends at the same time, all right? And so they would try to bring in all these special things to make your place the place to be. If they went to the extremes, they built a swimming pool. Like, oh, yeah. And maybe if they didn't do that, you had the latest Xbox or the latest, you know, PlayStation type of thing. You had the latest to try to gather your friends there. It didn't work, though. In fact, you wound up and your friends wound up hanging at somebody's house that was half the size of yours, didn't have all the play toys you did. Why did they hang out there? Because it wasn't about the what, it was about the who. Who was there? That's what drew them to that place. Happiness is always associated with a who or two that's really true. You need to remember that. Here we look at this next fill in the blank. If happiness was about a what, we could just go out and get our happy what, and we would be happy all the time. It wouldn't matter how you treated me. It wouldn't matter how others treated me. I would go home, I would get my happy what, and I would be happy. Everyone would be happy. Here's what we know. A happy what will ultimately lead to a happy what else or what's next. A happy what will always lead to happy what's next or what is what else. It's kind of like caffeine happiness. What happiness is caffeine happiness? It wears off after a time. I want you to think back not to the current phone that you have, but the one before you had your current phone. You were absolutely just as happy when you got the previous phone, ecstatic about that phone, as you were when you got your current phone, correct? Absolutely, happy is happy. But now your current phone is old, so what do you need? A new phone. That same principle is true with a job, it's true with a car, it's true with so many other things. Look at this fill in the blank. Remember this, if an aging what deflates your happiness, you were never happy to begin with. If you have ever visited a true third world country where you have seen incredible poverty, it is an eye-opener. After I graduated from college, I spent 2 years with our foreign mission board in Liberia and West Africa. I taught in a Liberian Baptist boarding school and worked in some village churches. And the villages that surrounded our campus, out kind of the middle of nowhere, looked almost like this. People lived in mud huts. Just mud packed around a wood frame with a palm thatched roof, no electricity, no running water. Most of the people didn't even have shoes. The average person in that day and time in Liberia earned $300 a year. And yet they seemed to be happy. And when Americans would come and we would see that, and here's what we would often say. Look at this. And this is, again, just more evidence that a what doesn't bring true happiness. It's when you see this, and here's what you say. How can they be so happy? They don't have anything. And here's what the truth is, especially when you look into the faces and eyes of some of those children, and you see they have nothing compared to what we have, literally nothing. But you see the joy, the happiness, the peace, the contentment on their faces. You begin to realize, you know what? Maybe they got more than we have. Maybe they've got it right and we got it wrong. Why? Because happiness is not associated with what's. It's associated with who. Look at this next fill in the blank. Parents, here's another proof that it's not about a what. Parents are generally not any happier than their most unhappy child. Parents, would you think about that? Would you agree with that? We're not any happier than our most unhappiest child. When our kids are down, parents, aren't we down as well? We're down with them, so to speak. We just kind of go there. Same is true for marriage. Husbands, you are never happier than your most unhappy wife. Some of you had to think about that, didn't you? This is probably the greatest argument against polygamy right here. I mean, just check out this family right here. Can you imagine? I mean, if you had 5 or 6 wives and you had to check in with them every day to find out how happy or unhappy they were, and then you figured out how happy you'd be that day? No, that's just not a good thing on that, is it, on that? It's hard to get happier than your wife or your most unhappy child. Why? Because happiness is tied to a who, not a what. Look at the next fill-in. More evidence. Whatever your worldview is, you need to understand that you were designed and created in such a way that your ultimate fulfillment is tied to some who, not some what. And then this last little bullet that's, again, evidence that it's not about the what's, but more about the who's, last piece of evidence. In the end, you will have relational, not possessional regrets. You will have relational, not possessional, regrets, because happiness is relational in nature. If you've ever heard me do a memorial service, a funeral service, inevitably I will always say at every one of those services, somewhere I will get this in, and I will make this statement. I've met a lot of people in my life, a lot of people who are nearing the end of their lives, and I have never had one person ever say to me, I wish I had spent more time at work. But I can't tell you how many people I've said that have heard say this, I wish I had spent more time with what? Family and friends and kids and loved ones. Our greatest regrets are relational in nature, not possessional in nature. Guys, let me tell you something. When your wife is coming near her at the end of her days and there she is in the hospital, she's not going to motion for you to come close one day. You're going to lean down and she's going to whisper in your ear, honey, please bring me my shoes. I just want to spend a little more time with my shoes. It's not going to happen. Guys, they're not going to wheel you out of that hospital with your, you know, oxygen tank with you. And they're not going to wheel you so you spend a little more time with your car or your stamp collection or your guns or ladies with your dresses. It's not about that. It's not about that. If you're here this morning, you say, hey, you know what, Russ? I don't need anybody to make me happy. One of two things is true of you. Number one, either you've been blessed to have so many friends around you all your life. You've never been isolated. You've never really been alone. You don't have any clue what it's like to be around, not to be by yourself. That's a blessing. Or the other side of that spectrum is this. You never had the relationships you really wanted in life. And as a result of that, as a defense mechanism, you've come full circle and you said, hey, I don't need that anyway. It's because you never had it, but you wanted it. So as a defense mechanism, you say, I don't need that. Just so we're all on the same page, let's look at this next fill in the blank. What's the answer to this question? So what makes you happy? Here's the answer. No thing. Nothing. No thing will make you and I happy. Here's the second principle about happy people that you and I need to realize. Happy people have peace. Peace with themselves, peace with others, and peace with God. You may be rich, poor, you may be single, married, divorced, you may be an introvert, an extrovert, you may have kids, you may have no kids, but you have peace in your own skin. Peace, comfort, comfortable in your own skin. And sometimes when we meet these people, we'll look at their circumstances and we'll think, man, are you in denial? I mean, just look at what's going on in your life. I'm more worried for you than you're worried about yourself. But there's just this sense of calm, this sense of peace about them. Happy people have peace within themselves. They're not warring with themselves. They're not pretending to be something that they're not. But happy people also have peace with others. Peace with others. They're not angry at other people. They're not, even if they're mistreated, they're not trying to seek revenge. You and I, again, would hear their stories, and we would go, why aren't you bitter at them? I would be bitter at them. But they just look and they say, you know what? I just realized I just needed to forgive it, and I just need to move on with my life. They're not even trying to get even with people. You hear their stories, and you say, hey, I want to take revenge for you. How could somebody do that to you? And then happy people also have peace with God. They're at peace with God. Even if you don't share their worldview, they just come across that they believe there's something more to this life than this life. They believe that there is really some divine sense of purpose for their life, that one day there will be justice. One day God will bring that justice, but God will also see them through their hard times on this earth. Next fill in. Anything or behavior that undermines peace in your relationship with yourself, with others, or God undermines your happiness. Anything that interferes with your peace will undermine your happiness. A decision you may make or something, if it interferes or undermines your peace, it's going to torpedo your happiness. It's going to sink it, so to speak. And every one of us can go back to some decision that we've made in our past that's now a regret for us. And we look back on it and we undermine our own relationships, maybe with ourselves, maybe with other people. And we would give anything to have a redo on that. But we know that that can't happen. And some of you may be here this morning and you are in the midst of making a major decision. You're not sure about it. And you're kind of wondering, man, I just don't know. I'm not really sure about this. Again, look at the fill in the blank. Anything or behavior that undermines peace. in your relationship with yourself or God or others. It will undermine your happiness. And one of the things that Christians, and maybe even Christians is not even the best word to use here. Do you know the New Testament portion of the Bible? The Bible's divided into two parts. There's the Old Testament, which tells the history of the Jewish people, their relationship with God from creation for, you know, thousands of years. And then it leads us right up to the New Testament, which is the story of Jesus Christ and then the early beginning of the Christian church. In the New Testament, Christians were never called Christians. This only mentioned two or three times. It was actually used as a derogatory term. The thing that Jesus would say is this: come follow me. And so we would become Christ followers or followers of Jesus. So followers of Jesus, here's one thing that we hopefully have learned. Fill in the blank for you. That peace with God paves the way with peace with ourselves. And then notice this: it equips us to make peace with others. This is so important. We're going to spend a whole week in this message series on how to have peace with God, how to get into a right relationship with your Creator to have peace. But I love that, just even this word, that God equips us to make peace with others. He gives us the equipment, if you would, to make peace with others. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. This is your sports question this morning. If you're a golf fan, you will easily know the answer to this. There's four major golf tournaments a year. Right now, today, they're playing the last round of the first major of the year. It is what tournament? The Masters Golf Tournament on that. So fun to watch that if you're a golf fan. If you ever drive up to Carmel, you want to make sure you do the 17-mile scenic drive around Carmel. They'll charge you about $10 for your car to go through it. Well worth the money. But one of the stops on the 17-mile scenic drive at Carmel is Pebble Beach Country Club. Pebble Beach is home to a very famous golf tournament. It's a professional tournament. You see it on TV every year type of a thing. And go in, stop, go into the clubhouse, go into the pro shop, and see the $200 pair of pants and the $150 pair of shirt that you can buy there to play golf in. And if you want to play golf there, you certainly can. Green fees to play 18 holes, it's about $450 to $500 to play a round of golf there. Now, here's what you really want to do. There are people who actually do this. I mean, this is big deal to say you played at Pebble Beach. And so you want to walk out of the pro shop, and you will immediately come upon the first tee or first tee box, however you refer to that, where they begin their round of golf. You want to just stand back and watch people tee off. Watch a group come forward. Now, this is so prestigious. When you come to the box, they introduce you like it's a pro golf tournament. Now on the first tee, Russ Cox, Jason Prater, David Van Pelt, Melba Wickham. I mean, they just introduce you, and you walk up there like you're a PGA pro. And then it's your time to tee off. And I just sit there and I just watch. One time, this was my all-time favorite. This guy was dressed to the nines. He was like he was a pro player. He got up, he did his practice swings. He got up to the first tee. He got up on his ball. Man, he reached back and he came through and he wanted to see where he hit the ball. And when he swung through, I call it chili dipping. He hit about that far behind his ball. His club came up and topped the ball. It went 5 feet in front of him. $500 to be embarrassed by everybody sitting there watching. That man had the equipment, but just because he had the right equipment does not mean he was a good player at all. God gives you and I the equipment to make peace with others. You have the equipment. He will help you, but it doesn't mean that you're going to have peace with others unless you utilize the equipment the right way, right? He equips us, though, to have peace with other people. Here's the implication of this. This is so important for some of you this morning. In fact, this may be why God brought you here. Following Jesus will make you happy. If what I'm saying to you is true, following Jesus will make you happy. Could that be right? Could that actually be true? And some of you, I just really want to encourage you, man, think about that. Think about that for a moment. This is part of my story. As a 16-year-old kid, in my junior year of high school, in summer before my senior year of high school, I had everything that I thought could make a person happy. What more could I have? And I wasn't happy. And because I wasn't happy, that began me on a search to find out what would make me happy. And ultimately, that led me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you may be at that exact same place. I encourage you to explore that, to explore that. Now, Jesus, when you read the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, there's four accounts of his life story. When you read the stories of Jesus, people were always coming and asking Jesus questions. And some of them were kind of goofy. They were trying to trick Jesus sometimes and trap him. But one day, a lawyer of all people came and asked Jesus a great, great question. And the question essentially was this: how can you be at peace with God? How can you be at peace with God? Now, because he was a lawyer, he asketh this way. What's the most important law? That sounds like a lawyer, doesn't it? The Jewish people at this time were very, very driven by rules and regulations. In fact, if you were a good Jew, you had memorized about 613 laws that you religiously followed day by day. So they were big into this. So he asked him this question, and here it is. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. A lawyer asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now the lawyer had in his mind an answer to this, but he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And so before we see the answer of Jesus, so look at this fill in the blank. Would you agree with this? That we don't normally think of laws and commandments as having anything to do with happiness. In fact, it isn't the opposite. We think that commandments and rules, that type of thing, they get in the way of our happiness. So you would expect Jesus to say something like this. Well, the greatest commandment, man, you better do this or you better not do that. But that's not what he said. Here's what he said. Jesus replied, love. What? Probably the lawyer might have jumped in there and said, wait, you misunderstood my question. Now, I asked you what was the greatest commandment. You're like, thou shalt not. And Jesus said, I know, I'm answering it. Here it is. Here's the answer to your question. You know, the greatest commandment, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. Look at the fill in the blank. So here's what Jesus is saying. The most important thing you and I could possibly do is love God. The most important thing we could possibly do is love God. And since God has made peace with you and with me, shouldn't we make peace with God? And then look at this. The most important commandment is about peace with God. The most important thing you can do is love God. The most important commandment is to make peace. It's about peace with God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then quickly adds on two other components to happiness in the equation. Here's what he says in the very next sentence, verse 39. He says this, and the second is like it, means second being like it, means it's on par with, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is incredibly profound. Look at this fill-in. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying what's most important to me is peace with God and with others and with yourself. You see, when you and I really love God, that means we make peace with God. When we love other people, it means we make peace with them. When we love ourselves, it means we are at peace with ourselves. And if you were interviewing Jesus after he had said this, you may say something like, Jesus, it sounds like you think happiness is really important. And Jesus would probably look at you and say, God created you. God created you with the capacity for happiness. God wants you to be happy. Jesus would look and maybe say something like this. This is not a secondary thing here. This is at the very core of our being, of how we have been created. This is what God the Father and I think are really the most important things. Then look at this next fill in the blank. Here's what we think, though. We often think that God is in the way of our happiness. Well, the opposite is true. God provides the way to happiness. But let's be honest this morning. That's why some of you left church. That's why some of you maybe haven't been back to church in years, and we're so, so glad that you are back. We're so glad that you are here at New Hope. But maybe Christianity years ago was presented to you kind of like this. You can be a good Christian or you can be happy. Well, that's not a good representation of Christianity, but that's sometimes how it's come across. And some people said, you know what? Good Christian, happy, I'll be happy. And so you walked away. And to be honest with you, I couldn't blame you for doing that. That is not the truth of how God, what he says in his word for you and me. Here's one thing that is true of every one of us here this morning. We will not stay in unhappy circumstances for long. Unless there is a very, 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 very good reason for it. We will not stay in unhappy circumstances because we are on a happiness quest, if you would. And next week, I hope you'll come back as we continue this series, because next week we're going to discover that's okay to be on a happiness quest. That's actually okay. But what we don't realize is this, that God provides the way to happiness. At the end of the day, look at this fill-in. To resist God is to actually resist happiness. To resist God is to actually resist happiness. Probably your greatest regret broke your peace with yourself, probably with others, maybe even with God. By messing around with your peace, it made you unhappy. And Jesus now invites you to make peace with God, to make peace with yourself. He equips us to make peace with others, because at the end of the day, happiness is more about a who than a what. Then here's the third thing we need to factor in as we think about happiness, what makes us happy. We have to consider in our pursuit for happiness this little word that is so politically incorrect today, sin. Sin. We have to factor in sin. If you are a follower of Jesus, you probably define sin kind of the way the New Testament writings do. If you're of another faith, you probably define sin based on how your faith chooses to define that. In these next few minutes, though, I want us to agree upon a common definition of sin. It goes something like this. Whatever you think you shouldn't do and others shouldn't do, but occasionally you do it anyway, that's sin. Something you say, no, I shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that, but if the truth be made known, I occasionally do that. Let's just define that as sin for just a moment or so. Here's what sin does. Next fill-in. Sin separates. Sin separates. It separates you from others, it separates you from God, and it separates you from yourself. Sin separates. If you think of your last relational conflict, here's what happened. Somebody did something to you that you thought they shouldn't do. Okay? You said they shouldn't have done that. It may have even been you doing it to somebody else. Maybe you did this much. Maybe they did that much. It really doesn't matter, because often by the time the whole thing's over, so is the relationship. The relationship is over. Why? Because sin always separates. When you and I bring sin into a relationship, you and I have begun to erode that relationship. Sin separates us also from God. It separates us from God. And maybe you've never thought of it this way, but let me give you another way just to think about how our sin separates us from God. Look at this next fill in the blank. Here's another way to think about it. When you sin against another person, do you and I realize that you sin against someone that God loves and that God created just like He loves and creates you? And some of you may be thinking, no, God could never love that person based on what they're doing. He could never love them as much as He loves me. No. Yeah, He does. He loves that person every bit as much as He loves you, and He died for them just like He died for you. He created them just like He created you. That's absolutely true. So here's the correlation. You cannot be okay with God and not be okay with someone God loves. You cannot be okay with God and then not be okay with someone God's love. I inadvertently left out a very important Bible passage here. Would you just write it in your outline margin? 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20, that verse simply says this: a person cannot say, I love God and hate my brother. The Bible says you're a liar if you say that. Oh, I love God, but I hate you. You're a liar is what the Bible says. We can't do that. And if you think about that, that's the way we operate, isn't it? I mean, listen, you mistreat my kids, and then you want to come to me and say, hey, we're cool, aren't we? No, we're not cool. You know, you mistreat my kids, it's like you mistreat me, right? Parents, are you with me on that? Yeah, we say, no, we're not cool with that. You can't be okay with me if you're mistreating my kids. That's the same analogy. A major teaching of the New Testament, in fact, the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved all the church people. Is that what it says? No. For God so loved what? The world. Every creature in it. Why? Because He created. He made every one of us. For God so loved the world. And when you and I mistreat one another, we are out of sorts with God. We are out of sorts with God, not just with the other person. And then sin separates us not only from others, it separates us from ourselves, as well as from others and from God. We know that a person can have a bad relationship with themselves. Do we agree with that? You know, some people have a bad relationship with themselves. If you don't believe that, hey, I want to encourage you, by the way. There's a movie you just need to go see. If you're a moviegoer, you want to go see the movie. If I Could Only Imagine. You got to go see that movie. It's a true story. It's only going to be out for another week or so type of a thing. But it's about a dad who really had a bad relationship with himself and the effects of his that had on his family and stuff. True story, great values, great morals. Man, you go see that thing. Go to the Palm 24 by Kaiser down there, $4.50 for the early shows. Okay, bargain. It was worth coming just to hear that, all right? $4.50 on that. When sin creeps into our lives, it erodes our relationships with others, with God and ourselves. And here's what we begin to do. We begin to carry secrets. We begin to carry secrets. Maybe it's something you did. Maybe it was something that was done to you. Maybe it was something you participated in, but you carry it with you, and you are in conflict within yourself. And you don't have peace within yourselves. You're not going to certainly have peace with God either, and you will never be happy. The feeling goes like this. Here's what sin does. And by the way, we're going to spend a whole week on this as well. Sin separates by substituting. Sin separates by substituting. It substitutes pleasure for fulfillment, things for people, images for intimacy. It substitutes. Again, we'll spend a whole week on that. Here's what sin does. Fill in. Sin makes a happy promise that sin can't keep. It's going to make you a happy promise that sin cannot keep. Sin is not your friend. Why? Because it undermines your happiness. It undermines your happiness. In fact, look at this next one on the blank. Here's what it does. Sin kills things. It kills things, mostly relationships. It kills relationships. When sin wins, you lose. I lose. Sin wins, we lose. James, the brother of Jesus, who has a letter that's recorded in the New Testament portion of the Bible. James wrote these words, and we're going to pick up right into the middle of a conversation, but just catch what he says here. James 1:15, he writes, "Then after sin has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." I want you to notice the imagery. Notice the imagery that he uses here. Conceived. Would we generally agree that conceiving most of the time is fun? Yeah, that's kind of a fun thing, right? On that. But he says, listen, when sin is conceived, it gives birth to baby sin. Oh, cute little baby sin. And we carry baby sin with us wherever we go. We have a car seat for baby sin. Oh, you just go there. Baby sin wouldn't hurt anybody. Oh, he's so cute. And here's what James says. When baby sin grows up, it gives birth to death. And every one of us have experienced that death in a relationship. It was fun conceiving. It was fun telling those stories about the other person. It was fun. And then it kind of grew and grew and grew until ultimately it was full grown and it killed the relationship. That's what baby sin grows into. When you and I are not at peace with others, we're not at peace with God, I'm not at peace with myself because we've allowed baby sin to grow into full-blown grown sin. And you and I will not be happy. Because what makes you happy is no thing. It's a who rather than a what. Last couple of fill in the blanks. When we opt for sin, we undermine our happiness and the happiness of those who are closest to us. And this is not God keeping us from happiness. That's what sometimes we think. Oh, God just don't want me to have a good time. No, it's not about that. Let me just ask you this. Has sin made your life better or worse? Has sin made your relationships better or worse? Last fill in. Happy people are at peace with themselves, with others, and God. And man, I hope you'll be with us as we continue to explore this because there's some good things coming that I believe can really help me, can really help you as we go through this journey of life. If you look at the end of your message outline, here's your next steps for today. I'm asking you just to consider a few things. If you're new with us, we don't try to take ourselves very seriously, but we try to take God real seriously. So here's just a couple of maybe potential next steps for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, hey, I realize I've been looking for happiness in the wrong way, in the wrong places. Maybe it just kind of hit for you. It's like, man, that's, wow, I realize that. Look at this second step. I'm asking God to help me begin to understand where true happiness comes from. And that's why I want to encourage you, if you're not in one of our small groups, we have about 25 small groups that meet, and they basically take what we talk about on Sunday morning, and they just really tear that thing apart and look at it from all kind of angles, and it's a great way to really get a lot more out of what we do on Sunday mornings. And Drew Tyree, our small group director, she'd love to help you get connected with a small group. You can even put on there, hey, I'd like to be in a group, and check that, and we would love to help you with that as well. And then if you want to be in Starting Point, please make sure you let me know that as well. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you so much just for your word, the truth that contains in your word, is eternal truth. And sometimes we look at it and we go like, no, that can't be right, but yet it is right. And Father, I pray as we begin to look, even start out talking about what really makes us happy, the first thing that we just nail down in our lives, and we would go away today thinking about it, this week we would think about it, it is not what that makes us happy, it's a who. It's a who. And I pray as we begin to this journey, these next several weeks together, just to look at what makes us happy and put these pieces together for us, that you would work in our life in a very powerful way. God, you created us to be in relationship with you, relationship with others, relationship with ourselves. And we want that to be healthy. We want to be good. We want to be satisfying. We want to be fulfilling. Would you give us insights in how to make this happen? Thank you that you give us the equipment. Also, I thank you, too, that you give us the power to act on that so that we have relationships that truly bring joy into our lives with you, ourselves, and others. Help us in this journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.